I got a bunch of things written down from all the songs. Those are good songs. Good to do them. Great music. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, I just really, I'm thankful that we learn to speak the word, speak faith, and use our words as the sword of the Spirit. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. But that comes from your mind, and you can just sit here and do nothing with it if you don't do anything with it. Once you start to find those real effective verses, and then you're starting to, and there's thousands of verses you have to have, 10 to 20, or whatever you may amount you want. But when you get them in your heart, then you can remember them when you're needed. And I would say we speak the word of God, and it gives you courage, it gives you strength, and it works because the weapons of our warfare and the plan of our ways of God. So the sword of the Spirit will connect into your enemy. You've got to believe this, you've got to see this, you've got to see the Spirit, you've got to use this in your imagination, because the imagination is given to you by the word of God. The word of God says that. In the positive, you use your imagination to see that word, but then in the negative, that's time, imaginations, and things you don't want. There are so many people, so many Christians that are suffering from the wrong imaginations, and they haven't been taught that you have to take strong imaginations and every past thing that is out to trust in the Holy Spirit. They haven't been taught to bring the facts back to the opinions of Christ, and that's our objective. That's why we use the word, we put the word into the Spirit, we put the word into the mind, and we make sure that at the word we find time for the word to come out of our mind, because then when the times are rough, the times are tough, the things go wrong, the things aren't right, then we already have learned to say the things we need to say, and we speak those things, and we bring peace to your heart, and clear the way, because the enemy wants to learn when you speak the word of God. If you speak the word of God in faith, then the enemy will be wrong, God, believe that you do, and then you will do so. Father, thank you for the prayer that that wants the word of God. Thank you for the praises of the people. Thank you for the worship that's going on so far this morning. My Lord, we just are grateful for the word of God. It's the influence of your word will just come in the illuminate of our path that will guide us and direct us and help us. Your word speaks to the hearts of peaceful man. It helps us in our life. Take the period of we never know to be Christian. So we thank you for the plan of God's word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let the redeemed we do the word say so, and we exalt and write. And this is such, that's wonderful this morning. Thank you for the songs and the singing and the band. We give the band credit because, you know, that's great to say, but you can make it clear. Even with such, you know, with these singers and stuff, and then you've got to tell them gifts and just talk to the gifts and the bands. And then, all right, so let's go ahead and get started today. And I'll start with I'll start a passage of scripture from Matthew. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for that. Again, Father, I just can't thank you enough for our series and musicians and for the family of God and for you. And most important, thank you for this work. We're excited to be able to see today in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 17 in verse 24 to 27 in the New Living Translation. I'm very loud in the poem, the collectors of the temple can be school to Peter, answer. As if you're teaching, as if you're leading, as if you're living, they temple to us. He's going to be involved in the US, the home of the end. So, you know, but yeah, that's it. When you have a temple, you're going, you know, collecting, you can only think about something. And so, he said, we wish you guys to do it. But hey, they went into the prophecy before he had a chance to speak. This is interesting. None of the rest before he had a chance to speak, Jesus had a new term. How do you know what's wrong with it? He's like, you know, I don't know what's wrong. He's just asking, he knows what's wrong. He's bad, you know, he sees this, he knows what's wrong. He has the perfect Holy Spirit helping him. And we have the perfect Holy Spirit helping him. We get a little bit of that staff from life. The staff of life sometimes causes the perfect Holy Spirit in the house to in some sort of rebuke that message, if you will. And that's why we need to stay in the moment and ignore and pray and worship and study and all these things that amplify our voice so that the staff can't block on the what's happening. Some situations, tough situations. When you need a word from God, you need to hear what God said or thinking or has for you, whatever it is, and you got staff blocking your ability to hear the voice of God. And so that's like one of our objections, one of the main objectives for what Tony has done for me is to work towards us to work in our people. We work when we push towards a place where we can get rid of that staff and that we can hear clearly for a moment. Jesus called Peter ran into temple, and Jesus said, "Peter, what do you say, Peter? Do you please tell us for our people or the people that excuse me, this is another translation of this conversation. They cast the people that conquered you with them. Well then, Jesus said, he says to verse 6. Okay, so Jesus is saying, we do this because we're lucky. Because we're, you know, but Jesus goes on to say, well then, Jesus said, the citizens are good, however, we don't want to offend them. That's interesting. Jesus, we don't want to send them through an organization. We don't want to offend people in purpose if we don't have to. Sometimes we do just by being who we are. If you're standing up for righteousness and you're standing up for goodness, and you offend somebody, they just get wrong and not just be on the evil. Okay. But we're not doing these things. They're just not going to criticize or offend or anything like that in purpose. We're not doing it in purpose. But sometimes you have to stand your own and do that. Because you're doing what you know to do as a Christian. There are all these kinds of implications. We have something to make that happen. If sometimes your mom or dad, your sister or brother, or a son or a daughter are unsaved, or whatever the situation is, sometimes you're salty. You're just living right, and you're salty. And all of a sudden, someone gets a little bit nervous or uncomfortable because you're salty. So you can apologize for doing what you know to do. It's what we need to apologize for when we call them back home or from being who we are in this crisis. And it's not easy. Everybody out there, all of us, in big nations have already building yourselves up on your own spirit of faith, praying the Holy Ghost, building some kind of strength, big strength. Praise to know the word of God. Be ready to get into the kingdom. I mean, if I'm spending 75% of my time currently on myself, and that, it's going to be difficult to be ready for those circumstances. You're different types of people. I mean, the world is different. And then there are maybe some other brothers and sisters in Christ that they love God and they're saved, but they don't really want to be in that position. So they're strong enough to say that. To be salt and light. We say about salt and light when everything is becoming to be salt and light. But Jesus did say, we all want to form them, so we sometimes think, who cares about the strength of the religion? In some instances of religion, says, just help me out. So I'm told again, we don't want to form them, so gravity of the leg is really light. And so, in my language, open the mind of the Holy Spirit and get interested in that. So, Jesus is telling me that that's a bunch of things. We're doing it. He's a person. Let's do this. I'm going to do the catch fish. And then the first fish that you catch, open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay taxes on the fish. Hallelujah. There's a lot in there. But, Interestingly enough, the New King James Version in Greek says escape. This is the first time in all my years of Christianity I've ever heard the word escape. Crazy one to hear the word escape. Well, I'm telling you this. I don't see any words for escape. So it's the exact amount to do the temple to my capital to my king. Let me see share with you. Literally spending approximately 4 days of the opening of the meeting with religious. if you do hard work out there, you're one of 4 days of labor wages is what this amount of taxes that has been collected. So if you get offended by us receiving taxes and you see your offering, what if we go back to just as much as our friends? Because I'm one who gets, one who agrees with it. We want to hear the word that the first verse of all week is given in times and third coming, and that's all we want. I like to find and say, that's what it is. I'm going to get somebody else to tell me this. That other person. I hear the voice of the good shepherd and the voice of the stranger. I do not follow. And he's clearly in faith too. Again, he stays seated and stay quiet. Otherwise, he can come up and talk. I'm starting to get the point. I'm going to get over it. I'm going to get over it. I'm going to get over it. I got some tag team brothers around here, you know? Don't you girls know for that? Hey, there was a great kind of team of people that have happened. Man and man, they didn't want to get stuck. And thank you so much to all of you that came down with us. It's fun when everybody's hanging out and we're sweating and we're working and we're doing it for the glory of God. It's working, so thank you for offer for doing it. And, so I'm going back to this word in training. The book of the first history chapter, it's a great call on the mind. So basically, a simple, not simple, miracle provision. We found throughout the Bible for people who find that they didn't see. So find a miracle in the Bible. What we're saying here is that, oh, so I'm going to go to Bible and I'm going to find a witness and tell them how to be rich. And then boom, I'm going to just sell everything and just wait for that rich to come. What's up, man, and how expensive is that? Just so that God has ways to bring his people to places and blessings. We believe in for blessings from people. We're going to never give up on blessings from them. Look out a God that blesses his people. But he's not going to bless a 25% commitment or a 50% commitment. And unfortunately, for most of us, a 75% commitment, that wasn't 100% of the money. We want his commitment. And this is and being flesh, that's difficult. We're just full of spirits and we're 100% with them. But in this life, there's families and there's jobs and there's gas and there's cars and there's food and there's everything else. And Jesus then says, I'm the creator of salvation. So he's encouraging us that there are great miracles of provision from the abounds to people who find greater safety. But you have to stand in that word of faith. And the problem is that people stand in the word of faith, they do look at that past well. They find the scripture and they dig it and they stand on it. But it's the periphery stuff that pulls people out of faith. They get out of faith when they get a good job, their life, their family, their so many things can get you to, lose track of where you're at and some of it. But standing in faith is really important for miracles and provision in the Bible. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to say that if you need a miracle, if God has miracles for you, a miracle baby church, we've seen miracles, we've seen incredible things happen. Thank God for each of you. Thank so much for that relation that we were just in across the aisle yesterday with Hosanna. We're in it first again, and it's so beautiful in there. It's so lightful, it's so warm in the sense of inviting. It's just a fun place to be. And so, can you go in there and then you go look again? It's just fun to be able to get to work. You call out with the work and have to destroy this. We're destroying this piece of heaven. I was in there destroying this giant desk. It's in the way to move because it's all up to them. And then it hurts and hurts some of the pieces that they're going to. And we have done that job. Well, this is a picture of me that I used to text him, and just I'm going to go to the hospital. 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 transfer and build nothing in his resource function. So I'm going to just go with my side. We believe each verse that will propose to you at that moment in your life, and then eventually my way to the place where the number of verses that came to us, and I need to preach on 2 to 7 verses, what we believe that you're beloved, and God blesses above all things, and this there is believed on the things that you may prosper in the things and be able to do those before prosper. So when we take that verse, then we have three things that we can believe about hope, that you may prosper, that you can be in front of, and that your soul can prosper. And so for this time, I don't know if Philip Duncan said he got three here, he goes, but first is soul prosper. Because when his soul prospers, it means you're going to be in nature. If your soul is prospering and you're going in nature, you may be headed toward being blessed. You may be headed towards prospering and love it. On your own, you're trying to get well. On your own, you're trying to get rich. Whatever the circumstances may be. But if you put the word of God to its place, and this is above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, you want my life in the spirit to grow up more in church spiritually. I want to know the word of God, at least in a certain level. I want to know enough of the word so I can keep up with everybody else. Everybody here knows the word of God. You know the people that know the word of God. And when they talk about something, you don't have to go, I don't even know what they're saying. No, you don't know exactly what they're talking about and when they're in discussions or when they're in progress or something and trying to bring up a script in their head. You know, I don't know exactly what you're saying and some right and work there. And that's what we want to do. So we want to prosper in the soul, in the spirit, in our life, in our mind first. Then we want to be healthy. Everyone wants to be healthy. We want to be healthy. Praise God. We want all of you believe God to be healthy. Amen. Praise God. All of you that you believe God to be healthy. All of you believe God to be healthy. And believe God will be healthy. Along with, hey, you guys, you could have done all the work we did yesterday in the days we should have crossed the alley if we weren't healthy and strong. It hurts so good because I know I was doing it for the kingdom of God, and you know what? I'll tell you that Jesus went with me. So man, thank you again so much for having me. It's just so cool. I was walking down the hall. Stand by and think all the way around to the top. And I see that door, and they push this rack full of stuff. And I could see their dead down there pushing that rack. And all of a sudden, they looked up and they're happy and smiling. And I'm going, oh, look at that. So thank you guys so much for that. That was so cool. You know, and everybody was just doing their thing. Everybody knew they found something to do. And so, wow, that's just so cool. When you're doing it, I know that there's blessings on you and blessings because, again, we love what's happening right now. And if you don't know that, you know, if you have a person that's at the center of that community, please just jump in and step in. All right, so do you need the Bible as it's written to you, or do you need the Bible as God talking to you? Do you receive the Word of God as the Word of Almighty God written to you? So that is... That is fair game, but we never want to get rid of it. So, you know, as much as I want to put all my faith in the Word of God, I don't want to get off on a tangent. So I'm just, I'm cautious. We just want to do it in this hand, but step on the Word. If you start in the Word and you see something on there, and you know that you can step on the Word, step on the Word. It's awesome because, you know, it holds you up. The Word will support you to say it's the beginning. If it's wrong to look, what is checking marks? We're going to make sure to notice it right when we see something because the wrong people get messed up because wrong moments. And so we learn how to do more. So, do we receive the Word of God as the Word of Almighty God written to you? Can we read Scripture for the rest? If God took him at his word, can I take that as his word? Would I get in trouble from God if I did? Would he rebuke me for it? No. If I took God and his word, that is how objective as spirit-filled Christians, word people take that as word. And some things are just so, I mean, wow, it's so good. I don't believe that. But there's certain things that people need to jump on the head for. And so we're getting a couple of things that we can all jump on board for. to bump all these things and bump us so people can wear it, be able to. If you don't believe that, then why not? If you do, then why not believe what is written? Well, that's the version of Israel. The New King James version called 3 John 2 again. Brother, let the ladies know, please pray on things and believe them, just as you say, Jesus. So I've heard this, and I didn't understand the point about being a Christian. I was a Christian growing up in Christian home, but this is the end of the world, because we didn't fight on this one day in the world. I didn't get any people in hungry, and I encourage this for you, you know, so it was going faster and faster and faster. And so, do I believe then that if I was in poverty, now I wouldn't be in poverty, but I could be in poverty. And the Father's purpose, according to the pastor and my friends, and doing all the things and so forth, I believe that this could be an object of poverty. And so, what I was going to believe today is going to believe God's word, that He means what saved us from that. I love what I'm going to tell you that God's not poverty. He's not blessed by your poverty. So we're going, it's me, I'm impoverished, and that doesn't bless you. Well, it blesses the Lord when you have written to the Lord with your first fruits, and you have enough left over to pay your bills and to enjoy the fruit of your labors, and to continue to prosper and develop and grow and become whatever, you know, God has on His list for you, and whatever plan He has for your life. But hey, nobody is called to stay down that much of the way that you got here, not to have it in that place. You're not, those of you who want to welcome, you're not called to stay on the Lord's level. Don't ever want anybody to stay on the Lord's level. That's not humility to say, I'm going to just stay on the Lord's level. I don't want to ever have where I'm at. I don't even want to be frozen, actually. I don't try because I want to look too comfortable. I've been told that it's just, you know, it's not too comfortable. I'm going to talk. I like that. That's right. I'm not told this. They're bringing me up. I'm talking to her. So, in that time, she says, well, I'm going to tell you that you have time for another one. If you take that at face value, everyone wants you to be happy. God wants you to be joyful, peaceful. He wants you to have love and joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, fairness, faith, meekness, temperance, and the prosper. The truth is to have enough to pay your bills, have enough left over to enjoy life, to have and enjoy life. I believe in that. I'm so grateful when they taught me that. Earlier on, in my years, that I have to really, really believe in. And so when you believe that, that's okay. Then all of a sudden, you believe that, you don't need to stay at that level anymore. And all of a sudden, you're going, hey, you can improve myself. I didn't go to the next level. I don't want to go anywhere. Yeah, I'm going to know you. I'm going to love you. I'm stepping into a higher place in God. And prospering them, and if there's new jobs that God can open doors for, to take the thing that you have enough brain power, you have enough abilities, you have enough skills, you have enough power and spirit on the side of you, you have enough power and spirit on the side of you, to take it to another level. And then suddenly, you know, somebody goes, well, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, then what you do is just be better at something. If God wants you to be better at something, what they do, you don't do that at me. Just be better at managing your God. To decode a few more scriptures, not for you, not for somebody else, but for yourself. So that when you're in a situation, you need to know the word of God. You don't have to go page through the decoders to find what the situation is. You can just decode the scripture and go, that's the soul of the Spirit. And then you're going to fight the negativity of the situation with the soul of the Spirit. This is poverty. It's a call from time to call. When you know you're a child, you can read it in your heart, and you can remember. If you can't remember, listen, if I was made to stand up and pull on scripture, I don't know who couldn't do it. I don't know. I'm not embarrassed if I was called to stand up and pull scripture, you couldn't quote scripture. And then in chapter 16, perhaps not well, and he told that son who had a great man, and he told that only that son, he had a son. If you don't even know about them, you're a snake. I mean, I think that's so similar. You didn't do nothing. No, most of you have been wrong to change our focus. Changing our focus from nothing to something. I'm having questions and all for me. What do you think? I'm not proud of this. I grew up thinking paper jacks boxes because I'm not proud of it. A poor kid. There's got to be a goal. There's got to be a desire in us. The best person in the world is the home of our Christians. But we can expansion of our ability, expansion of the life, expansion of the way we're in it, not just narrow down into this tiny little world. And then you say, no, God wants to expand us. And use us in putting you trying to find where you're telling us a person. Every single person, every single person wants to God is a plan for this fruitful. Be fruitful in every good life. Be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what the word that if we believe what it says, be fruitful in every good work. So we can grow up into Christ. We can be fruitful in the other. We can personalize it. We can do things in our we can live and walk in our deep. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the city. Be a blessing. Going somewhere. Something's good is going to happen. And understand these signs because these are things we see spiritually. Something good's about to happen. We're going to and we're going to another life. We're singing songs. As a community, but you have a scripture back in it. You have to stop in that power of God upholds the name of God. He is the rock of our salvation. He's the one who gives us a good point. But when we see the signs, they remind us of what we're standing on. I'm standing on the ground. I'm solid on the rock. And so I'm not going to need it. But then it's a doctrine. I'm not going to get thrown around because of doctrine. Well, that's when, that's when sometimes we read this, he doesn't really believe in stuff. So, no, I'm not addressing when you just have a place and not if you fall, I'm going to say, you're my name. What you say, I'm going to say. And if they can't say one thing, but they're saying that, I should give you 15, 20, 30 things I'm saying. I give you 30, 50, 100 verses I'm saying. So, don't tell me. You know, it's an arrogance in the world. It's an honest. You know, we're standing on the word. We're expecting something good to happen. We're expecting something. We believe in the goodness of God, the glory of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. We believe it. And we're standing on that. It's our foundation. This is our foundation. How do you decide to allow the both of us? Because it's so spoken. It is written. It's the word of God. Now, I don't need to know the whole Bible. I just need to know what I need. And find those things, you get so happy when you start looking for what you need, because God said your heart needs it. Then you start to find, and guess what? You expand with the stuff that's around. You just expand because you went to the word of God, and God speaking to you about the things you think you need besides what you think you need. And all of a sudden, you're expanding your knowledge and understanding, wisdom and understanding, sanity, and you're increasing your knowledge of God. What is our objective? Is just stay stagnant and focus? No, of course not. To produce fruit. But who am I producing fruit? The Lord, the Prince of the Earth, the family, and the family. There's children, there's co-workers, there's so many things that if you were just following the lead of God, you would stumble into wonderful things that we would call divine things. He would just be doing a deal of the word, and boom, I just across the path of something for divine plan. And this would happen. It was smooth as silk. It was completely hot next to your body. It was no big deal to share that, you know, God's word and love for us that he's got instead of better life for us than the nature of the universe. We don't even get to live in that. We can do this and then we can back it up. We tell you what we believe. We believe it's in the deep. So, we talk in front of you. I worship of all things that you've passed. I want to be in health too. But I start being in health even as a soul prospers. Soul prospering, I want to increase in my, I don't want to scale up the level of my team if the potential is there to grow in that way too. I want to grow in it. And so I'm blessing for the money, for the balls, for the alcohol, and that in Christ so that I'm special. But, you know, I know that that's me, you should go, and you get so much from him, and that's going to be promising. But it's not always like it. It's not always like it. So many people say to me, you guys wake up, no, it's not me, but they're just looking for me. I'm not even looking for me. We have time to look up. That's my classic again. You don't have to come forward and I pray that in every way you make it true and interesting. God bless us and I pray that you're thankful everywhere and that you're applying your people. Even if you're not a self control in the constant. I didn't talk to you. It's a secure offer and being good at physically, just as I know your self comes to spirit. And I can make seven messages on that one verse because it's the cause of the things. When you say oneness, what do you mean by oneness? I take anything poison that fallen on and pour it into the things. If I give you permission in the book about how something so easier, you say because some people feel that they don't have the point. For a long time that's all I've learned to think about. So you've got to get to a place where you think like that, where God has given the authority to step into a new place of believing. And then what we're saying is that we're taking the responsibility for pouring out faith that you can step from that. That's what we're doing. And so in doing so, every one of us can believe something. We can believe something in something that I did it well in the morning of the Lord, in the morning of the Lord. There's some things I could not believe. They're great, they're awesome promises, but man, I'm just, you know, I'm so, you know, you're in the field and I'm trying to look at me, I'm trying to do all these things and to believe that, you know, you can prosper and be in health and even as a soul prospers and that we can move to the next level and I can have more job and I can do better and more economic. Oh, well, that's just too much. But guess what happened? God, it's okay. It's not an answer. It's just a bad answer. It's a new answer. Trust me. Believe me. Trust me. And take it to another. And understand that so small of essay as I spoke. It was so exciting. It was everything. I changed the circumstances a minute and I used the meeting at the moment. Bless Lord, accept your direction that is to go to the next level. And we're going to do this. So I believe that you can find a couple of, you know, several verses to stand on. It's a little morning when I wake up and we're going to another level. And I'm going to say, but we're really not there. I'm saying, yes, Lord, we're going to another level. And God took me. There's not a battle in me. It's just that I want you to listen to talk about the moment. He took me from a GED, General Education Department. It's a lot! And that's what he did. And he was still just a kid. And he was This was God that said, yeah, you can do this. And I already got this big deal over him. And he starts to complicate it. And then they were not only, I was long waiting for him to do so. That's a promotion. And that introduced to my life. That's the best thing that ever happened besides God and the Word. And so, praise God, I just keep going to Him. I'm going to another level. I'm going to another level. And after that, do you think we could ever do that? If it was brain power, I'd be standing at the level of GED. But I took that GED and I went to drafting school. I went from drafting school, I went to a drafting job. From a drafting job, I went to electronics school. Electronics school, I went to drafting, electronics school. I went into electronic drafting. You know what they did? They gave me top secret level work to do. I told you about many times. Working on nuclear weapons. So, I'm trying to make somebody realize that God can take you and use you. You're good. You're smarter than I am. Maybe. You don't open your doors. You do not open your doors. You know what you do? You do your job, you're faithful, but you're more faithful to God. When you're faithful to God, you're proving yourself. Faithful to God will supersede 1,000 people. The Bible says he promotes one and he puts down another. Somebody goes, I don't want to be me. No, hold on. You're just holding your place long while you're believing God to get to that spot and you take that place that God has for you. Every single person that's through your way, they will want something for you. But if you're just interested in, you know what, stuff, you can learn this. And you haven't put God's word for his place, that's the first thing I do. Hey, but let me say that to you. That's the first thing I do. Put the word for his place. What did you put in the word for a person? Does that mean I'm going to do what you did, no? It just means that you're going to commit that he is most important in your life. That is putting the word. And if you say God is most important in my life, then I'm going to make this most important in my life. And therefore, I'm going to get some additional somehow some. This is called success motivation from the Lord. Because we can all succeed. We're winners. You're a winner because you're on the right team. You can ride the bench on a really silly thing, and guess what? You get a win. You can ride the bench on a Super Bowl in Kansas team, and you get a win. And then you go 10 years from there, and they say, where did you get the Super Bowl? Where did you get that World Series? Where did you get that NHL Stanley Cup Hockey Championship or the NBA Basketball Championship? Where did you get that win? And you have to go on and get it to win. I don't have to tell you any details. I don't just want to tell you it's a thing happening in the church. As a Christian, you're on the track and succeed. All things are possible to they that believe. That was the one that I had to think deep in my head. Because I didn't believe that. I believe all things are possible for you because you're special. And therefore, I know that God loves you. And I know Randy's special, and I'm like, well, that's really one of the best questions, that's what you have to do later. And to all of you, we are special. We're special enough to be to go to places, to do things that are beyond what we exceeding abundantly, let's say it again, exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think according to the power that's at work within me. Amen. Now, if you were saying it by heart, that is very encouraging that people know the verse. Not that I didn't think you did, but praise God, well, first Peter 7, they know the verse. Well, that verse right there can propel you. Exceeding abundantly above all I could ask for according to the power that works in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If God be for me, he can be against me. I'm good not to tell, we're bold not to me. God in itself, too, right? If you go up there, I'm the bold and not to tell. For the longest time, I thought I was the tell. Oh, man, I'm just going to throw in a wish at you, dude. Look what God did. What did he do? He just took some extra crisis. He still has some bad things to him. What if you let some feelings of being in heaven, they started asking me if I wanted to step up. If they ask you to step up, and you say no, it could have been God that told them to help you to step up. And you could be putting off the things that wants to lift you to another place. But someone might be, you might be very happy where you are, but there's a much more kind of different areas, right? I'm talking about jobs a lot because that's the area where I'm just going to do this one or one after another. But another area is defense. I don't know if I can really do this campaign. I'm just going to go with it and do the stuff in my race one and then stay to me. But I don't believe I can feel my bad and that's what I do. I feel good. So good. We're having fun in church today. If you're out there watching with us, you can come down here because you know what? We're going to another level. Mary Hart does good recognition. The good of, you know what? You are such a special person. You're one of the outstanding women. And you know what? She's such a man. That foundation is a woman. You are a woman. I'm just blessed. So I'm taking one verse. And Jesus said, dude, don't get that fish. Don't catch a fish because that's what you do. You're fishing. Okay, so it goes down, what's the difference is when that's the first verse. Number one, get the money, and then get the fish, And since I sent the whole school, it says right to where you're at. Do all that you want. And then they are conscious that we can do. So that's the thing that's all that is important, is it's the best that you may be in the next year's day. That makes you a group. Mom and dad shall support home on you according to the grace of God and Christ Jesus. Or you go into your testimony and the head, not the tail, and the body, not the knee, and breath, you see, you start declaring, it's called confession. I want to hear about this confession, but you know, you don't, because you're confessing the word. If you could criticize confessing the word, if you criticize confessing the word, you're full. Because what you're doing is, the power of God is not. It's not right there. That there is there to hold up the building. This is to hold you up. To bring you and your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Obedience to Christ? Don't tell me that. Yeah. Casting down imagination for every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity and his thoughts that he'll bring to Christ. There are little things you have to learn along the way. And I know you have this particular case, so many guys have. He said, you're not going to succeed and prosper and go to the next level if you don't control your mouth. Are you kidding? God is the most powerful being in the universe. He is God. He can bring your thoughts to a place of exceeding abundantly above all we can ask of him. The power of God that is raising the word of God. One word from God can change everything. There was a scripture that you guys saw. And I went to it. Do you have the word? Let the redeemed word say something, in another confirmation, say, see the other side, or see the other side right now. Look for the sea in the other side, right this side. I could see the hand of the crystal as far as the rest of the darkness of the book scripture is not desolate. And this side is the angels, friends of fire, mystery spirits, sent forth into the back. Those who are heirs of salvation. So I've got an entire army of angels if I would do. I've got at least one. We know we've got at least one, right? Everybody say yes. We've got one. But when needed, you know, I was walking down the street where I'm sure you're with me there, and there's a group of people coming, and he said, praise God, man. And you and me, it's hard to deal with these people.
See, don't deal with the trouble, just get to the trouble.
No, it's hard to deal with them. And that was me. And I'm going to say, too, John, never mind. Who in the world do you prefer to connect to your spirit for 2 million people? And we have those answers. 2 million people are connecting to your soul, singing right in that time. And they were gone. That's all around. They were gone. And because I was nervous, I was going, what are you doing? The guys are sitting there and they're just trying to recognize the room. Just a filthy stomping.
I can't do it. Sure, don't know.
And I saw these two guys around and kept on. Only one to the right. And I get down in the hill. The front is still at the top of the room. I'm back in the downtown. And there's all of them back in the middle of the room. And I couldn't see those. It was. And it was driving home, and I told this. I'm driving home, and As the Lord was out, and I looked over into a corner, and a writing statue in the red man, black, blank, and toxic. So God delivered me a pen. And he thought, it's like, can I think of another way for people to go down and think of that? That's some favor, some favor. So what I learned from this is that I can take a step. And not be afraid when I fall on my face and I just go in with you. You'll be saying, well, if I take a step forward, now don't go to talk to God all the time, for unless God shows you how to do it, and shows you the time. But just to snap up in your journal or to take the next person or someone to believe, because everybody can believe God believes. We're all going to be around all the time. So why not just continue to pray that God is going to increase? We're going to see that he's working, and that he's going to be. That's what we're saying. Why not? How do we live it and pray? How do we want to have to pray? Oh, next one is guard your heart. Guard your heart. If you will not stop to be honored and try to stay, and it's going to be quiet and listen. Quiet times or something. Go and talk to him.
Guard your heart with all diligence to honor your soul if you will. If you're going to put garbage in, then you're going to have to go to the room. Foresee evil in the Lord, help me to foresee what's evil in your sight and hide myself from it. And then do that. Do it. We need to come to the day with all of our hearts. You know those things are roots that hold you up.
The roots and sins that don't stop.
They hold you up. Sometimes it's not sin. It's just a root. It might be permissible, but it's not helping you. If it's not helping you, then it's just wasting your time or holding you down what it keeps out in your life. Then there's something fun about faith. You know, you can do some dumb stuff when you think you're being tipped. I remember I was a Christian for maybe 2 weeks. And I heard a message, you know, about faith and healing, and I want to heal you. Lord, I pray you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Faith without corresponding action doesn't work, it's dead. Be back for your healing, and then act like you're healed. So I threw out the context.
I heard the things like that too. I didn't write that.
I'm healed, I don't need my context.
I can wear the paper. I can wear the two girls tomorrow.
That helps you. That helps you not to be dumb stuff. Here's the deal. If you're standing for your healing, and your eyesight is healed, and you take your contacts in, your eyes will be blue. And when you wake up, you'll be able to see, and you won't need to put contacts in. So, yeah. But God's good. You sold your paycheck, you did it with a pure heart, and God blessed you and rendered you fair.
Yeah, but just took a few while to recover from that.
I'm afraid that sometimes is, you know, there is sacrificial gift. There are times when God will put on your heart to do something sacrificial. I remember one of the times where we hit kind of a bump in the road with the church. And, you know, anybody who thinks they have a money problem, I'll tell you the truth. You don't have a money problem, you have a priority problem. A spending problem. You have not prioritized that in your giving and you're not walking in wisdom. That you were, we have made some changes in the church and in the ministry, and we just listen, they listen, and we have spent a lot of time straightening out the priorities in our homes, and we always get, we always put God first, hiding and all that, getting above beyond our power, that is as best as well as we can before we even let each other. But we also have that person. Because there was a time in life where, well, you know, if you can pay your, if you pay your payments, it's not really bad. Why? We didn't have a savings for a long time in our early life, you know, we had some of that. But we finally got an emergency from state. And he's driving down here, and God's like, oh, we got an emergency. The coach didn't have an emergency fund. He had here, our very first emergency fund that was actually an emergency fund. Not like $200, you know. It was an emergency fund. And so we started. So, you know, that's a sacrificial gift that God put on our heart to do so that everything could continue and number things, right? But we didn't have our family possessed or our house going to foreclosure because we gave them. Right? So you gotta take care of your expenses. But sometimes we can cut out extra things to do what God is asking us to do. Some things don't happen alone. Do you know what prospering is? When you know you need a new pair of shoes, but you don't have $100 or $100 to get them. And I'm always saying this, you know, you need it for $5. Or somebody gives them to you. Exactly what you needed in the perfect spot. That's prospering. So if you're in this year and you don't think that God can prosper you, let me tell you. God can prosper you if you put your priorities in. And if you're walking with it, God gives you wisdom. To spend what I do wisely. And I'm going to trust you if I put you first to make up the difference. And he does. He does every time. He does every time. Where healing's concerned. If you have a significant issue that perhaps didn't happen overnight, it might take, I mean, God can do anything, right? There are miracles. But some miracles take time. They were healed as they went, so that's scripture. The nice thing about healed as they went is that if you're standing on the word of God and you're building up to the victory and your miracle comes, then can take a room for you. Because you actually, your daughter, your faith has been healed. And your faith is your deal. And so, some things take time. But when you get them, you get them. We are in the midst of a miracle right now. We are living as a church. We are living in a miracle. We knew that this would be a temporary place. And that God would have a permanent home for us. And we knew we only had one more move left. Because, you know, we didn't like a lot of work. And we moved a lot, but we're tired of it. We wanted to just get someplace, stick some pictures on the wall, and stay there. We're going to ask the guy until Jesus comes, and we're not moving again. But God said we wouldn't have to. Gave us a scripture and I'm putting it on for you. You're not going to move on. Thank you, Lord. After all these years, we got the proof of my time. It is the least we have ever walked into. It's the perfect size. Our second location that we were in, it was a two-level building. It was an old American Legion building. It was just critical. It had to be completely redone. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing. But it's 10,000 square feet. And that's a really good size for a church. That's a nice size for a church. Because you can have an area that gets the space set up to, like, a fellowship hall. You have enough room for people to gather when they come in. You have enough room in your sanctuary. You can have a prayer room, a kids ministry, and all the things that you need. And this is 10,000 square feet. And it's laid out perfectly. And we don't even have to really move except across the alley. Anybody that goes down here and parks under that covering,
they know where to park.
Exactly. Those of you that get to park on the street because you have the stickers for your windows, you can park right where you park. You take public transportation if you want. That's it closer for a few people that do walk. And so we can have to walk closer. It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. We're going to get to be at
home. Yeah, it's really an interesting story.
I love what Marlene said to me. She had to pick up Ashley yesterday morning, kind of in the midst of stuff. I mean, we're going to be lots of Saturdays to help out. We might even end up doing a few Sundays after church for a little bit. You know, what we have to do to get moved over there as soon as possible. And Marlene's been here for a long time, but she didn't start coming until after we moved into a big club facility where we have church and concerts. And she said one of the things that she really wished is that she could have been part of that awesome work God did. It was a miracle in that too. Getting moved from Northeast Minneapolis to downtown, that was a miracle and a big job and lots of volunteers and a lot of work, but she came, God brought her to the ministry after. And so she kind of missed out on that. So she came yesterday because she's like, I'm not missing. I don't want to miss out on what God is doing. Because it's really cool. We have light duty things for people that need light duty. So if you want to come, you can make food. We are trying to serve a meal and eat together every time we get together. So, Patty made some nice and chili for us for yesterday, which was great. And so, you know, there's things that we can do. There's cleaning. Everything we took off storage had to be cleaned. So, I'm not putting away stuff that's been in storage for 2 weeks. It has best been growing. Everything that goes to the new church, for you, we're not taking our old dusty stuff in for our new life in Christ. How's that for a transition to close the service? When you have Jesus in your heart, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And so, that's what we get to do. And you have to be a part of it. And so, if you're new, you're part of it. You're part of the miracle. And we're just asking everybody to do your part. We're asking you to do extra. Because we do need extra finances right now. There are things that do have to happen next year. And we need extra help, right? So if you are able to give one right now, it's so appreciated. And if that's the part that you can do, and that's all you can do, it's very much appreciated. If you can give of your time and help, yes. And probably what's going to end up happening is the Sunday before we move, we'll probably, that Sunday as soon as church is done, everybody's going to have to pick up their own chair and take it in. Something like that. I like to have fun. I definitely need to get things done, but if I can have fun at the same time, I'm going to try and have fun at the same time. So that's the whole goal, having as much fun as we possibly can while we're busting it to get it done. And God is good. God is good. And I believe that any time we've made a move, it's important that we go back to being on the first floor. And we got our old 3 degrees in the air on some of the stoves. They haven't plugged it in yet, but I believe they're still going to plug in and work. And there's a big old window. We got a little one so when people drive into downtown, they'll see it on the side of the building in the window. And you have more freedom and flexibility on the first floor for some reason. And so we're going to take advantage of that. And people are going to find us. And we're going to occupy it until Jesus comes. And, you know, I love what Jesus said. Go out into the highways and hedges. Shake the bushes. Because where the wedding feast was concerned, they sent out invitations. And to me, that's like sending out invitations to a bunch of Christians, right? But they were too busy. They had too much going on in their life to come. And the wedding feast wasn't full. The Lord said, well, go up there and take the edges. Get people to come. People that know that they need a Savior. And that's where we're going to be. And that's what we're going to do. And use lunch and see. Because we already do have people miraculously that are trying to come. Four is big. Which, when you think about it, is a little weird. Not too many people go to a church in the first floor of an office building. Thankfully, you all found CUB. But now we're going to be in a place that will be more visible and will be more accessible for people. And I believe we're going to have people come. Just to come and see what they can see. And we're going to welcome them. And if they sit in our chair, we're going to be happy about it. And we're going to be also shaking our head. You can have a furrowed brow. But we are going to be happy about it. If someone comes in and takes your chair, you're going to go, praise the Lord. They must need to be there more than me. And you're going to either sit next to them and introduce yourself and be happy. Or you'll sit behind them or something like that. You know, stuff like that. We're going to be friendly. We're going to be welcoming. I said this only last week. Some people don't like change. And other people love it. Me. So I know some of you side with me and some of you side with Pastor Steve. So between the two of us, we have empathy for you, exactly what you're thinking and feeling. But this is a miracle. We're not going to miss it. This is such a miracle. And it's such a blessing. And I'm so grateful to God. Do you know that that is my favorite building? I've been working for the developer that owns all these buildings down here for 20 years. And that has always been my favorite building. Architecture, I love history. And I've always loved the attention to detail. When that building was built, it was the premier building in this area. And so for God to just look at something new to say. It's so cool. We don't have to scrape ceilings in this building. You don't have to pound plaster off the wall in this building. There's so much over there that's already done for us. We just need to fix it up and get it to where church can happen and be able to see. So we'll close the service and obviously you can tell where it's at. Because it's cool. It's been a long time coming. Sometimes our miracles take time, and a lot of times people get weary in well-being. They hear about it, but it doesn't happen. It hasn't. It's going to happen. It's going to always happen in God's perfect timing. Always in God's perfect timing. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Don't grow weary in well-being, for you will reap your harvest in the end. in the end, God's word is always key. Miracles do happen. We've lived them. We've lived all sorts of miracles. A lot of you in here have lived at miracles. God, I do this just one of the things. How many of you honestly can say, your life is better because God brought you to this church? Certainly. There's not one person who doesn't have a handout. So even if you're still in the midst of a trial or a test, don't grow weary in well-being. You are gonna reap. During the time it takes for your harvest to come to fruition, grow as much as you can, do as much as you can of the word of God, and you will reap. Amen? Amen. Yes, ma'am, I was just gonna get to the salvation first. Thank you. Start always with a commitment to surrender to Jesus. Life is not worth living if you don't know the Lord. It just isn't. And it's so simple and so easy. We just acknowledge that we need a Savior. And then we ask Him to come into our heart. We confess our sin. We ask Him to be the Lord of our life. I knew Jesus as my Savior, but I didn't know that He could be the Lord of my life, and then He wanted to be the Lord of my life. When I found that out, and then I could have a personal relationship with Him, I signed me up. Because I don't really want life to be about me. It's not good, is it, Faith? We mess up a lot when we're on our own without the Lord. So, let's pray this together. If you're praying for the first time, if you need to make a fresh commitment, believe in your Father God. I come to you today. Jesus, I want to live my life for you. I ask you to forgive me. Thank you for what you did on the cross to pay the price for my sin. I release all that now. I invite you into my heart. I ask you to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I surrender my life to you. Help me to live for you. Thank you, Pastor. Heaven is my home. I'm going to live for you. Do your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to receive the offering this morning. It's a privilege to give. It is a privilege to give. We do it as unto the Lord. Pastor Stephen and I don't look at the offerings. But we knew as individuals before we ever met that giving is the way. It's God's way. So not only is it the way to prosper, that's the avenue, but it's also what's expected of God's people to support the church, support the work of the ministry. And because we also do that as a church, we don't use every penny that comes into the church. We turn around and we sell a portion of it into other ministries so that there's always a giving and a receiving, always giving and receiving. And we want to be a blessing, and we want God to multiply our seed sown individually. We want God to multiply the seed sown as a church and increase the fruits of our righteousness. And not only get to be a part of what God's doing here, but we also get to be a part of what God's doing all around the world. And so as we did this one, do triple with our heart. Amen? Father, thank you for the privilege to give, to sow into the kingdom. Father, thank you for the gifts, the talents, the sanctification offerings, Father, that we are doing for your kingdom, which for your glory. Lord, thank you for prospering each one of us, blessing us, even as our souls prosper, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, John will be in the back if you're giving online. It's just 3degreescoach.com. If anybody has not seen the church next door and you would like to, just let me know after church. We'll run over there quick. I actually got my tape measure and need to bring something, so I'm going to head over there after church for a minute. Also, just a reminder, this time of year that we're coming into, it's a little weird, the transition between summer to fall. So the boiler is not going to get turned on in the building until the middle to end of October. So it could be a little chilly in here because we actually don't have access to heat yet. And then next door, kind of the same thing. So when you're in some of these older buildings, that time of year, if it's hot outside, it could be a little warm in the church. So dress cool. And if you're somebody that's cold all the time, okay. Or a puffy coat. In the middle of the summer, you're fine. We love everybody. Whether you're cold or, amen. All right. You know what?